So we're here for a podcast with a K. My name is Christian Corley, and with me is James McLean. And we're back for a... We haven't been here for a while, as you've probably noticed, but you know, you've got plenty of our previous discussions to chat about. To listen to. And you probably know what we're here to chat about. And let's just get it out of the way. This came as a complete shock. I was busy doing kind of wedding anniversary things yesterday when this happened. Russell T Davies to return to Doctor Who as showrunner. Yay! Look, I've paid for the sound effects. I'm going to use them occasionally. James, where were you when you heard this amazing news?
I don't know where I normally am, in a dark, damp pit of despair. That's where I sit these days, like a moist troll sitting under rain-swept bridge. That is where I be. Yeah, I think I was by the computer and someone sent me a message. Oh, yes, Pat Munn sent me a message.
Did you send me a message, didn't you?
Yes, I did, because I was quite surprised. Given that Pat knows his stuff, and I was like, well, to be fair, Pat was just sending a link he'd seen off a Doctor Who website.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't like insider information, but it was a surprise.
Yeah, and then my immediate response was, oh my God, is he dead?
Yeah.
Because the message you sent me was basically... Russell T. Davies.
Just Russell T. Davies.
Yeah. And there's absolutely no context. So I was like, oh, God, no, what's happened? And then I went on Twitter and it was like, oh, what? It's not April the 1st. What's going on here?
I'm just interested in terms of precedent, in terms of television, not talking about film or books, but whether there's been a situation where there's been that sort of return of showrunner to come back and after such a period. I mean, there's been ones like Community, where you've had Dan Harmon leave after series 3
uh-huh.
and then come back for series 5. But to have a showrunner voluntarily leave, unlike Dan, and then return again 10 years later is kind of unusual.
Yeah. I mean, I think you probably picked the only other example.
It's the only one that springs to my mind, but I know I'm sure there are others in my head where you've obviously had, as I'm sure we will talk about, there is obviously an argument that when those sort of things occur is when the people who own a property are beginning to get worried that they need to find the person who found the spark.
Yes.
But I can't think of a circumstance where after 10 years, but that's not to say there isn't. I've seen it in comics, obviously. Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's almost the case of Verity Lambert, isn't there? But that didn't happen.
Right, yeah.
Back in the late 80s, early 90s, where there's a possibility of Verity Lambert returning to Doctor Who. And obviously they got advice, or someone got advice from Sidney Newman as well, about what should be done with Doctor Who. But I think that was just like a magazine interview or a fanzine interview or something. That wasn't anything kind of serious from the BBC. But the Verity Lambert thing, you know, Verity Lambert had her own production company, so there was a possibility that might occur. But Russell T Davies returning to Doctor Who. I mean, I have a feeling it's going to be different this time. Not just in what the output is, but like the whole setup and everything.
Yeah.
Russell T Davies says that he's beyond excited to be back on my favourite show, but we're time travelling too fast. There's a whole series of Jodie Whittaker's brilliant Doctor for me to enjoy. Chris Chibnall says, you know, similar things. Piers Wenger boy, from who is the BBC director of drama. We'll go into this side of things in a moment. As a 13th Doctor prepares to embark on new and extraordinary adventures, the winds of change are blowing, bringing with them news to delight Doctor Who fans across the globe. We are thrilled that Russell is returning to Doctor Who. Thank you to Chris and Jodie and the team in Cardiff for all they continue to do for the show. And hello, Russell, it's wonderful to have you back. Now, there have been suggestions that Doctor Who is leaving Wales, but Bad Wolf, the production company run by Russell T Davies, is in Cardiff. And at the launch of Davies' It's a Sin show earlier in this year, in January 2021, he was asked about Doctor Who and how the world of TV has changed, and observed, "I was in the middle of running an empire, and my God, I did that 10 years too soon, didn't I?" Obviously referring to the whole Marvel world there.
Yeah.
There should be a Doctor Who on Star Wars as well, going, how much better is Star Wars on TV than the movies? Anyway, that's another show. There should be a Doctor Who channel now. You look at these Disney announcements of all those new Star Wars Marvel shows, you think we should be sitting here announcing the Nissa Adventures or the return of Dobby Noble, and you should have the 10th and 11th Doctors together in a 10-part series, genuinely. And you get the feeling that that's kind of, I mean, that feels like it might be part of this new setup, I think. This taking this opportunity, and BBC Studios is working with Bad Wolf on this production. And this is the first time that Doctor Who hasn't been produced in-house by BBC, BBC Drama, because BBC Studios is your BBC Worldwide. It is a commercial enterprise. So we're going down the line of things we've kind of been talking about for a while, that the BBC really probably should be doing with Doctor Who, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's an interesting thing in terms of power relations as well, isn't it? In terms of when you've actually got sort of like a production on which exists outside of the actual institution.
Yeah.
I wonder if that, how much leverage and control that will give Davis to be able to run on like a day-to-day. I mean, we don't know how that setup's actually working. I would suspect, given that his capital is fairly high, that he's had quite a strong position of power in terms of negotiating this. So I imagine having Bad Wolf involved. And there was a tweet that was shared with me yesterday that was suggesting that might have been one of the deal breakers, was having Tranter, Gardner, Bad Wolf.
Right.
Involved in this. So it wouldn't just be Davies coming in-house, as you say, to BBC Studios. Would suggest to me that this is an agreement and a setup maybe that he has wanted, perhaps more than the BBC.
Yeah.
Well, there are obviously advantages to the BBC as well, in terms of, sort of depending on, again, how things are financed.
And also they can stop worrying about it.
Yeah, there's a lot of benefits to doing it this way. It kind of feels, from what's been leaking out, that this might be something which is the, you know, advantage Davis here, that this is something that Davis wants, and it might be something that BBC wants as well. So that's not to say that he's won some amazing fight, but it feels like it's being done on terms which he's setting out quite clearly at the beginning, which, like I say, he does have a position of power here.
Yeah.
He has currency in terms of making good shows. He's got currency in terms of Doctor Who, and he's got currency in terms of experience in doing a sort of show like Doctor Who, which is what I suspect they're after.
Yeah.
There's a need for someone like that, and because there is a sort of very weird, from what I understand anyway, there's a sort of very weird nationality which exists institutionally around Doctor Who. This sort of fear about bringing in voices outside of Britain, sort of American voices, as far as I'm aware, I could be wrong, but it does narrow your pool of potential people who could take on such an institutional show as Doctor Who. So maybe that's, you know, that gives him a lot of leverage if that is the case. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't argue with any of that. There was obviously that thing with Jean-Marc Lafitte. It was James Straczynski, wasn't it? When he said that he'd love to do it, but he probably wouldn't be asked. And there have been other writers who the BBC have said they wouldn't ask them.
He was serious as well, as far as I'm aware.
Oh, yeah.
His people did reach out. So I don't think that was like a sort of, and he strikes me as a man who doesn't say things he isn't going to do.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he was very keen. And I remember reading some of the conversations with him on Twitter when he was talking about this. And there was this kind of feel of like, there is this thing with the BBC that, you know, no American should touch a Doctor Who kind of sort of vibe. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But I wouldn't be surprised. But as we've said before, you know, maybe something like that would be the injection the show needs, something, you know, a third perspective, which perhaps it's not getting by constantly reusing people who have been under its banner for 20 years.
Or more.
But then there's a difference between that and Davis, because I would argue that if anyone is going to break format, it's going to be the person who established the format initially.
The current format,
Yeah, exactly. So, like, and that goes back to what you said earlier, that I don't think this is going to be the same thing. This will be, you know, I imagine a very heavily character-driven show, but I think if you are expecting it, that he's just going to go back to finding a male 40-year-old, 40 to 50-year-old doctor and sidekick companion like Rose, I don't think that's going to happen. And I don't think we will suddenly see the entourage of people from his era coming shooting back in.
No.
I don't think that's what he's going to do.
No. I mean, there was a few years ago, wasn't there, when there was the first talk of Moffat moving on, there was a rumour of Davies and Bad Wolf getting involved then and relaunching Torchwood and reusing Tennant and perhaps doing those kind of things. Now, I wouldn't rule out either of those two things happening now, but that wouldn't be Doctor Who, would it? That wouldn't be the new Doctor Who. And I think the new Doctor Who is probably going to be the new sort of like post 13th Doctor, Doctor Who, the post Chibnall Doctor Who. I think probably you're going to have Doctor Who as your the tree trunk, and then I can't imagine this without there being satellite shows, being, you know, the branches.
Yeah. Which is odd, because I can't remember who I was speaking to, because I'm so in with my own voice, I forget where it's projecting to.
Was it you?
Could have been. Could have been Mirror. Could have been Piano. Could have been Teddy. Could have been an actual physical person. But was talking about, or probably talking to, this idea that... and again, it goes back, as you say, to these current models. I mean, you've got Disney next year pretty much having every week Star Wars adventure on the slate.
Yeah.
And that is what you potentially got with an IP like Doctor Who, where you do have, and to be fair, on a micro level, Big Finish has been doing now for a good decade.
Yeah.
Certainly. Or accelerating it, certainly, in the last decade, of just drawing off every aspect of the IP and creating adventures, and there's no reason why Doctor Who can't do that.
Have they done the Chameleon adventures yet?
No, but you know, it could be interesting. I don't know who's got the pockets to be able to buy all this and the time to listen to all this, but I certainly don't. But I think you're right. I think that's, if the British are looking to sort of actually start engaging in, not like we've talked about before, a Netflix model, but actually, which is about, you know, about a certain type of show, is what we've talked about, you know, a Netflix type show of 6 to 7, you know, 8 episodes, maybe a serial thing, but actually a model of distribution, which is what Disney's doing, where it's keeping subscriptions by doing this roll on of weekly shows to keep you in subscribed, so you will dip into their other content, but the weekly shows are there to sort of lead you into it and keep you on the subscription. There's no reason why the BBC wouldn't do that. And again, that also lends a question of how would they distribute it? Would they be running Doctor Who on BBC One and obviously its platforms? But then would they be doing other shows which would sit within, exclusive subscription packages? Would it sort of sit with sort of like a BritBox thing? I don't know.
I would imagine they've got the two opportunities. They've got BritBox, which they obviously have a part share in, but they also have the opportunity to kind of go behind ITV's back and launch a kind of international iPlayer, which they've tried on a couple of occasions in the past.
Well, that would be my feeling, would be that would, if they were going down that route, then something like Doctor Who would be that kind of lead franchise that would try and draw people into that platform. Whether they could do it, you know, the market's now becoming quite clustered. Whether there'd be space for it, I'm not entirely sure. I think at the moment, it's interesting to see, you know, bastions like Netflix suddenly not struggling, but they're now no longer the sort of market leader.
No.
So I think Disney Plus is, well, they probably are, but I think that that gain is definitely weakening.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've seen this before. You know, we see how big names, one day, Nokia, Blockbuster, can be easily replaced as the market shifts.
Yes, absolutely.
Disney being a powerhouse, and their Disney Plus channel, and the way they run their package, you know, starting to amalgamate their other distribution, platforms, you know, and starting to amalgamate that into there as well to make it a far more, you know, who'd have thought, you know, Disney Plus would now sort of have, you know, not just Star Wars, Marvel, but you've got Aliens, you've got Golden Girls, you've got all the things that they can, you know, they can draw into this one space.
Not to mention Steve Martin and Martin Short and Selena Gomez in Only Murders in the Building, which I started watching this evening.
Well, this is it. They've got a lot of interesting content that is there. And as they've got these massive franchises which are leading a very new way of distributing, a way that isn't unique in globally, but it's certainly fairly unique to the West, where you're sort of drawing tighter ties between television and film, which again is something I would not be surprised for Davis to be looking at, because, you know, that has been a sort of avenue which has been explored when he was in the show and when Moffat was in the show as well.
Yeah.
Is there a room for a film? Not necessarily within canon, but as a separate franchise. You know, are there spaces to do that? So could you be tying in film material, which then syncs to television material? But certainly Doctor Who, very much like Marvel, more than Star Wars, because Star Wars tends to be about drawing together a fractured franchise. And I say fractured because it's sort of continuity isn't sort of, it doesn't sort of move forward. It's sort of obviously prequels, originals, new stuff. And it's sort of patchwork, which is being pulled together, sewn together by Disney at the moment. Marvel is more sort of forward moving, ongoing, and drawing all these threads together to make you watch the next show. And while Doctor Who technically being about time could be both, I think it will follow more of a Marvel model, where it will be about, maybe if there is like a unit show, the stuff in there will tie in to a Torchwood show or to a Chameleon show or to an Adric show, which would then all tie into Doctor Who, which might all come together in a big movie. And that could be a way forward. And I could see Davis having that sort of vision. And like you say, I think that would be what would engage him into coming back to Doctor Who.
The Adric show.
Well, why not?
You want to know why not? Give me an excuse. You want to know why not? Because he's dead. I just want to apologise to Adric fans there. So.
Vassa clearly stated that he was survived by the master. He survived, taken by the master.
Didn't he turned into Manuel, didn't he?
Well, maybe.
In a big Finnish play, wasn't there?
I don't know. Is it what?
I think Andrew Sachs played an old Adric. I may have misunderstood that, but
that's the idea, isn't it? And that's kind of again. If we're looking at sort of Marvel models in particular, more than Star Wars, where you get, and okay, not just Marvel, but DC models as well, superhero models, where there are certain characters which maybe lack a currency in the comics, which have been given extra currency in the films. I mean, Aquaman is not the most obvious one for DC. Ant-Man could possibly be argued for, or Guardians of the Galaxy, which was never a bad comic, but it was never a big hitter compared to Spider-Man and Iron Man, and now it's big in the franchise for the films. There's no reason why a Doctor Who franchise couldn't tap into things like Adric and make it, a far more engaging...
Yeah, the thrilling adventures of a math genius. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Well, you'd possibly drop him into an espionage team or something. Maybe he would lead or be part of because he's a thief. Maybe a science team whose each episode they go on to various BBC quizzes. I don't know.
Young Adric. Younger Adric.
Or maybe it would be like Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner. Maybe each episode he has to sort of somehow find a way to use his gold star and he fails at the end. And, I don't know. But that again is a fairly simple. Quite an interesting point. This is the one thing that Marvel has shown us, and to a lesser degree, Star Wars as well, is the sort of multi-genre approach to these big franchises where things could be very interconnected, but the tones can be very different.
Yeah.
So you could do something very light and very meta with an Adric show and still have it exist alongside something very dark as a Dalek Empire show, or a Rani could be a very interesting show, a very dark show about very, sort of alongside light Loki. So yeah, I think you're right. I think it's interesting to talk about this in the projecting of what would Davis do. Like we said, I don't think Davis is going to be happy just sitting there doing Doctor Who and revitalizing Torchwood.
No.
You know, he wants something bigger. He wants to try and mastermind something, which again might mean that the tone of the shows will be very different, because it might mean he's a lot more hands-off. He might have learnt to do that in the last 10 years, to be hands-off in a way that he wasn't when he was doing Doctor Who. Because I think that's the other point. 10 years is a long time for, well, more than that, 13 years is a long time for an artist to have shifted gears and shifted how they do things. It's not going to be the same Russell T. Davis as a producer, showrunner.
No, absolutely.
He's going to have learned a lot from those mistakes he made, especially around 2008, where he was burning out. He won't do that again.
No, so, I shouldn't imagine so, no.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, just as a, you know, beyond the fact, you know, that it's someone who everyone seems to tend to think. Interestingly, Twitter was a little overly cautious in some areas, to say, looking through threads on Instagram. A lot of people sort of going, this is a backward step. I was kind of looking for something exciting and new, and we're going backwards. And other people going, oh, no, not Davis, not emo doctor and the like. But again, I think they're mistaken. It's not that Davis. It'll be a very different Davis.
So, Russell T. Davies, back in Doctor Who, this possibility of this huge, sprawling Empire universe, Doctor Who thing, and maybe some other stuff going on as well. As you just said, you're talking about Instagram and Twitter and everything. I mean, are we maybe misjudging this, or maybe it just is a straight shoe-in replacement for Chibnall? I don't think we are. I think this does represent something completely new for Doctor Who. A lot of people are getting it wrong.
I think also because, as a producer, he's not stupid.
No.
He knows that the show, regardless of what people think of its quality, is, 15, 16, 17 years old, whatever it is now. I can't keep up. It's old. It's coming up to its 20th.
He knows television, doesn't he? And he knows what the audience wants.
And he knows that for it to continue, regardless of what you think of quality, very few shows will carry on for 20 years.
Yeah.
Fairly straight. I mean, I know we complain about years where it's not showing, but broadly speaking, from 2005 to 2021, it has been on far more years than it hasn't. And that's a lot for a show. So he's going to be aware that it needs to do something, and it's got to do something big, especially for the 60th. And so I think that will be what this will be about. It'll be, and it also might be the reason that they're upping the stakes, and I suspect putting a lot more money into this, on the gamble that he will take the show in a new direction. I think they know, I think the BBC knows, I think he knows that it can't just be him coming back and doing the standard 13 episodes, because that's not going to be, it's not going to help his capital as a creative, because that is risky, because it might just end up being very average, or like he's just, treadmilling.
Or
as people said, step backward from his own professional position. I don't think it's going to revitalize the show in an amazing way. It might bring people in for the first year just out of curiosity from a buzz. I think it's going to have to do more. And in itself, that's going to be dangerous, because as we've seen with Big Finish, having 1,000 more Doctor Who products doesn't necessarily mean fans have gone, great, 1,000 more Doctor Who products.
No.
They've gone, when's the Chameleon series coming out? When's Adric going to get his own series? It can backfire, the same we see with Star Wars, people getting, the fatigue.
Yeah.
And something becomes banal rather than exciting and sublime. So there's dangers ahead.
Yes.
But I think it's his best chance of actually finding a reason to exist in this massive, saturated world of content. But this could be big for the BBC, because it could be their only way of matching or even sustaining this sort of product in a in a world where, as you say, Marvel and Star Wars are dominating, critically as much as commercially.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, on that matter, I have experienced a strange sensation over the past few months. I have absolutely no interest. My twins have seen Black Widow. It hasn't really piqued my interest from the trailer. I have no interest in seeing Shang-Chi in the Ten Rings. Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That doesn't appeal to me at all in the slightest. Magic rings. Ooh. And I'm feeling as well a little bit of, I think, fatigue. So I'm really not that much bothered, and I love Spider-Man, about the new Spider-Man movie either. Now, I do wonder if I'm alone in this, or whether or not maybe, I mean, I've got a slight interest in a new Ant-Man and a new Guardians, but those characters are like a mixture of new and old characters. I'm not really that bothered about.
But I think the way that Disney is going to approach this, and I think it's going to be maybe slightly different to how they approached Infinity War, because they're going into not just this new era, new phase of story, but they're going into a new phase of distribution.
Is
that it will be a way to sort of make it that's fine. If you just want to watch Guardians and Ant-Man, you'll do so because you won't feel that just watching those and not watching Y will mean you can't enjoy it because it'll be stuff you won't understand. I think while there's always an argument, that's the way of capitalizing on these sort of massive franchises, is these matrix of franchises that people do have to watch everything, which is kind of what they did for the last couple of phases. I think that's going to shift slightly.
Yeah,
because they're
going to
be aware of that fatigue.
I got a lot more from watching WandaVision and Falcon Winter Soldier and Loki than I have from any of the movies, to be honest.
And I think they're very much self-contained. I mean, I think obviously Loki will, we're not going to spoil anything here. I think Loki will have bigger I think they'll all have repercussions. But I don't think you will need to have watched them to go and watch the films next year. I think Disney's going to be very aware of that fatigue rate as they up the ante in the amount of shows. So, because you're not just having films now coming out, but you've got TV coming out almost concurrently. And that's going to take its toll. So I think they're going to be mindful of that. And if they're not, that's when one could see their franchise powers starting to slip back in favour of something else that comes forward.
And this is something that BBC Studios and Bad Wolf can look at, isn't it? And potentially learn from and avoid.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's very much what they need to do. Because they'll never be able to match it. They just haven't got the global power to match it. And I don't honestly think the Doctor Who franchise is... It's not like Marvel, and it's not even like Star Wars in the sense that it is very much dominated by that central character. That is what galvanizes a lot of people. Now, Torchwood did fine. Class didn't. Sarah Jane did fine. And I think Sarah Jane did fine, again, because it's so heavily connected. No, that's not fair. Sarah Jane was a very good show, which is why I did fine. But I think it doesn't have perhaps the ability to spin off in so many ways where... Because, I mean, like with Marvel, you have characters which in another media have massive, again, we use this word again, massive currency or massive capital. They, you know, a lot of people bought Thor comics. A lot of people bought Guardians of the Galaxy, even though the cultural name, they had their niche within that sphere. So they had their own sort of integrities. Doctor Who doesn't really have that because it's always carried on really with that mono franchise with a few things alongside that fans will be aware of. The majority of people have not listened to Missy. The majority of fans will not listen to Missy on Big Finish or Jago and Life. Or, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how he tackles that because it's not going to be a match of just doing a Jago and Lightfoot, because while that will engage fans because they'll have loved Talons of Wing Chiang, how do you make that engage
I guess there are certain things that you can do, as you kind of mentioned, maybe UNIT Daleks. I mean, you know, they've been proposed for Daleks TV show going back to the 60s, and then there's that wonderful animation last year or the year before as well. So That's got to be a possibility.
Yeah, I think so. I think there will be things which will... I would be surprised if Torchwood came back. I could see vestiges of Torchwood, but I wonder whether, for Davis, whether Torchwood is just too much of a messy beast that he yeah. might just leave that for Big Finish.
Yeah.
But I think he could do something similar. I mean, if depending on how Barrowman is perceived in 2 years' time, would be a question of whether maybe he would get his own show or not, depending on his the climate of the media around and perceptions of him.
Yeah.
But that sort of thing could happen. You know, certainly, as you say, I think a Dalek Empire one would be an obvious one, which they've all almost tested waters in some of the stuff that came out last year. I think, I also, the other way to do it would be to do lots of backdoor pilots in your first season of your new show.
Mm.
And of course, the obvious one, which we've talked about many times, and this is the one which is very doable, is you do specials with Tennant.
Yeah.
Or specials with Eccleston, or specials with Matt Smith.
Matt Smith, yeah.
And give them their well-paid six-episode, you know, in the middle of the year on BritBox or whatever, and they would probably do that. And that's the way, that would be the other way, because you've got a massive continuity of the Doctors you can still mine. Questions of age, I'm sure, could be worked out, as they've done in the past. Yeah. So you don't have to have the current Doctors. You could do stories from its past.
Yeah.
With those Doctors. And as I say, create new characters, and you've got some monsters which might just work.
Paul McGann!
What was that?
Paul McGann.
Oh, Paul McGann. Well, yeah, absolutely. Paul McGann would be the obvious one.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, you know, you could look at some monster stories in the same way that, you know, you have an Alien franchise, which isn't really based around Ripley. It's based around, you know, the oppression, the fear of a certain monster.
Yeah.
No reason you couldn't do that with Daleks. There's no reason you couldn't do a Walking Dead show set in 2150 AD or whatever you want to, whatever time you want to position a Dalek invasion, and have, you know, a group of survivors trying to survive that sort of world.
Now, or you could do a Walking Dead show with Cybermen.
Yeah, absolutely. That would probably be more fitting, certainly.
Yeah.
But yeah, that, there's no reason you can't do that sort of material. I think the stuff's there to be mined, but I think the one thing that fans have got to be aware of, and I'm sure Davis is aware of, is while there is a massive franchise material that you could mine, I think there's a lot of franchise material that you can't, because if you're trying to make Doctor Who become bigger on a global stage, it's going to be no better. It's going to have no more currency than if you created a new character. You know, create a new mathematic teenage thief wonder boy than go and grab Adric. It'd probably be easier to do that.
Yeah.
So, but then again, this is all on a mass. This is based on this hypothesis, which we just see floating, that that's what's going to happen.
Yes.
And as you say, we might find out it's just, you know, a doctor in Cardiff doing Davis stuff, in a way which is kind of fresh and fun and BBC are happy with and he's enjoying. I don't know. But yeah, I don't think it's going to be the same show. And
no.
I'd be very surprised if we went back to a 40-year-old white dude. I think not yet. But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we are wildly speculating here. But
yeah.
I mean, it's informed on lots of other conversations that we've had in the past and this press release.
Yeah, but I think that's the thing. That's the fun thing to be doing here, rather than sort of criticising it or celebrating it early. And I'm like you. I liked his era. I think he's a great producer. I think he's a very smart man. I think it's a really good move. I don't think it's a step back. I think it's a step forward. Just utilising assets which have worked for the show in the past.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good move. I don't think it's any attack on Chibnall or Whittaker either. I think, to be fair to Chibnall, I think he had a very hard job. Could there have been a better showrunner? Who can ever say now? But I think, like I said, he's been fighting a show which the BBC has kind of lost interest in. It's saturated by similar content on multiple platforms. I don't think some of his decisions perhaps were big enough to combat all that, but I think he had a lot to work against. And quite frankly, I'm not sure how I would have, how would you follow the Moffat era when you've got dwindling ratings and far more competition and people so used to that you're so used to Doctor Who that it's no longer sparkling and exciting. How do you make it sparkling and exciting? Perhaps not trying to reinvent the 60s would be the first move, but that was the way he tried to take it.
Yeah. Yeah, and James's full written 300-page defense of the Chibnall era will be available next year.
I just sometimes feel, as I've said before, if you take one of Chibnall's stories and you put it back into 2008, I don't think it would be the most terrible, awful, world break, boring story. I think it would fit in fairly well, and I think that is the problem, is that it has not advanced much in since 2008. It's doing the same sort of thing, and it's, you know, it's kind of like, well, yeah, even though it's very good, it's kind of what we kind of expect. And I don't think they really did enough to make to help Jodie either. And as we've said before, I don't think, I was saying the other day, I mean, I said to a colleague, you know, you take Graham in Jodie's era. If you'd taken Graham, and I think having Graham, I think the character was a really, in some way, quite a bold choice, because it was, you know, we've not seen an older character really like that since Wilf.
Yeah.
But if they'd sort of had the Doctor find him with no memory on a spaceship, trying to find his way home, but doesn't know where it is, you've got sort of vulnerabilities there. You've got, you know, you can, you know, you've got a question, you've got a drive for the character, there's an agenda, you've got a reason why the Doctor would be interested in them, because there'd be a mystery, you've got an interest why the audience would be interested, and he'd be vulnerable, and that would draw the, you know, so you could have, but having Graham as someone who comes from Sheffield, who sort of does the usual thing which they've been doing since 2005, just hopping backwards and forth, you don't have anything there, and I think that's a shame. I think Chibnall had some smart ideas, they just didn't land. But I kind of think Davis is the sort of person who would be the other way around.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the Chibnall era, you know, people tune in to watch Monsters traditionally with Doctor Who, but I do think there's a lot of older women tuning in to look at Bradley Walsh. And some men as well. Because you know, he's a popular guy and he's moving on. He's doing a new show. He's doing this new version of The Darling Buzz of May, isn't he? For a TV channel whose name escapes me at the moment. But yeah, I'd largely agree with all of that. It did feel like too many companions, and just the Doctor and Graham does, you know, it's easy to say in hindsight, but it does feel like it would have been just like a neater match.
But it still kind of feels like too many of the same companions.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I know people argued with the Davison Doctor was too many, but I never found it was like that, because they all had their own unique perspective.
And you could always leave Nyssa in the TARDIS as well.
Well, yeah, you could always leave Nyssa in the TARDIS. But, you know, Nyssa comes from, you know, Traken. Adric came from eSpace. Tegan came from Heathrow Airport. You know, there was a kind of, what was it, Gatwick?
I think it was Heathrow.
Who cares? It was, you had a sort of a mix there.
Yeah.
And I think that is the mistake. You know, if Graham was someone that he picked up, he knew, I do, no idea where he was. Yaz was, you know, I don't know, an angry ace-like character fighting for women's rights in the 60s. Terribly, his name escapes me suddenly, which
Ryan.
Is probably not a, it's a bit of an indictment. Ryan had his own, was a sort of, I don't know, someone, you get my point. If they all had their own drive, their own agenda, four people in that space isn't a massive cast. But if three of them all come from the same spot and are kind of the same motivation, largely, to sort of be in Sheffield and to go and see adventures, you've got three of the same person, really, with just slightly different facets.
Yeah.
You've got to sort of pull them out and give them a reason to be there. And I think maybe the one thing, going back to The Walking Dead, that sort of genre has hopefully taught television, that sometimes having people brought together through need rather than out of want is sometimes the most powerful thing. And again, that goes back to Harlow. That goes back to exactly the thing which Chibnall missed in what this, you know, the 60s was about, was largely about companions coming together because they had nowhere else to go. And that forged those alliances. And there's none of that. There's no real need for them to forge any alliances. And the most interesting thing about those three was the relationship between Graham and Ryan, which was that there was initially a dissonance.
Yeah.
But that wasn't really big enough. But that was the interesting thing.
Mm.
And that was really it. So, yeah, I think, and we know that Davis is a character writer. So I think he could probably have more than one person in there. And I think he probably, if we go back to our idea, this idea of it being a multi-franchise, maybe that's exactly why he would. Because you could have multiple people going in and out of that police box at different points, interconnecting different series. There's no reason why you couldn't occasionally have Captain Jack with the Doctor and then heading off back to do his own thing in his own show. There's no reason why you couldn't have that crossover with UNIT and a new Brigadier meeting up with Captain Jack or going in the TARDIS for something. There's no reason why you couldn't. The Doctor becomes that intersection. I could see that being something that could be done. I don't know. But no. I'd say it's fun to think about this sort of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. It is. We'll wrap it up there. So, I mean, if for some reason you've clicked play and then, yeah, skip to the end of the podcast, I mean, who does that? Russell T. Davies is taking over as Doctor Who showrunner following Chris Chibnall, and there's a whole bunch of behind-the-scenes production changes as to how Doctor Who is produced. This is a very exciting time. This is the most exciting.
Who does this? I mean, if you read a book, if you go to pick up a book and you read the first page, and you go, oops, I've slipped the last page. The last page doesn't sort of go, if you've actually not read this book and you've slipped the last page, here's what's happened.
Yeah. Well, it depends whether you're reading a novel or if you're reading some kind of non-fiction guide, in which case you would probably find a summary.
Pick up on that, yeah. The conclusion might conclude the paper. Yeah, but yeah.
That's kind of my thing, isn't it? So, I mean, you threw me completely there, and good on you for doing that again.
I guess you stumble around.
Oh yes.
Trying to, yeah. Yes. Thank you for punching me in the gut. No, this is good. It's helped me.
But So I mean, this does represent a completely different way of doing Doctor Who, and production of Doctor Who is moving out of BBC. Let's call it BBC Television to call that whole bunch of channels that you get through your television, BBC Television to BBC Studios, which is better known to you as the company that produces DVDs and documentaries about Doctor Who for DVDs and Blu-ray and disc and whatever. And, you know, they also have like a big stake in producing other shows. That's where Doctor Who is going to with Russell T. Davies, Bad Wolf Productions. So, yeah, this is the biggest Doctor Who thing since 2004, whenever that was announced, 2003. Yeah, this is massive, and we've talked about a lot of things of what it could mean, but what it really the impact that it's had so far, it does seem as though that has gone over the heads of a lot of people what this actually does mean. So hopefully we've managed to clarify that, and also then give you loads of crazy ideas of what it may not actually mean. But you know, we can dream.
I think it's it's kind of sweet because I was on the on Instagram the other day, and the Doctor Who feed came up, and it was like, you know, join us on the website to work out this little mystery. And I looked through some of the replies, and it was actually quite positive replies. And I was just thinking, you know, bless you, you know, you're doing the stuff that Davis was doing back in 2005, but no one is really listening anymore.
Yeah,
and that's not your fault.
No.
Because you've just not got that sort of coverage and that sort of visibility as you used to have. And it sounds like a great idea, and I'm not knocking it in any way, but it just feels like this is the time for something that needs to be big.
Yes.
To make a difference.
Yeah.
Rather than let it just go into hiatus, which is eventually what, as we said, it will probably do or become something far less regular.
It will happen one day, but doesn't look like it's going to be happening anytime soon.
No.
And that's a good time to wrap things up.
Does this mean we're going to be doing this for another 10 years? Because, you know, probably
me and you talking like this for another 10 years.
Sort of coming to a might be coming to a close with Jodie. Maybe someone else would do it for another few years, and then it will sort of die out. And it's like, it's, you know, a new blood has been injected into it. It's like, it's going to be more these sort of podcasts, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess we do have to keep talking for another 10 years. Yeah. Can I do the theme tune again, or shall I not bother?
It's up to you. I might just have to think over it again.